join the conversation. Hello and welcome. It is now time for SDFO to VOIP. Please dial 929-299-1269 to join the conversation.
Welcome to the SDF conferencing system. You are the only party in this conference.
VOIP 229-299-1269. VOIP 929-299-1269. O2VOIP 929 299 1269. to VOIP 929, 299, 1269.
One other party is in this conference.
This is Publius calling into the SDF Voice over IP conference bridge during the Anon Radio Open VoIP Hour. So, anybody who wants to call in to talk about what I've been doing on my show so far can call 929-299-1269. Or, if you're on the SDF Voice over IP system, you can call extension 1088. Now, SMJ tells me, he must have looked up the website or something, that this soft drink I've been drinking is Honduran, from Honduras, but probably not durian flavored, alas. Actually, I don't know if I should say alas, I've never tried durian flavored soft drinks. I'm not sure whether I should ever hope to try durian-flavored soft drinks. They sound somewhat concerning. Now, what else is there to say about that? Not a whole huge amount. My plan for this evening, after... Yes. Ooh, he says there are 12-ounce bottles. Those would be ideal for sending to Tobe. My plan for this evening, after the dial-in period, would be probably to read some more of By Air Express to Venus or Captives of a Strange People by Roy Rockwood.
Hello, this is Jazzmouth.
Hello, Jazzmouth. This is Benina.
Uh-oh. I think you've been altered by the beverage.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, by the way, go easy on us, banana, a thick banana flavor loving Satanists.
Are you a minion of the evil one?
I guess so. If that's the criteria, I do like some of those from my childhood frozen banana cakes that you would get. I think either Betty Crocker or Sara Lee. That had that, you know, fake banana flavor. Although the other thing that's interesting about the whole banana flavor scenario is, I guess, at some point in time, the variety of bananas that people were consuming is different than what we are consuming today, and they have had, I guess, a blight that ended up with an extinction event, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And the flavor, or at least the flavors, yeah, the flavor scientists, if you want to call them that, claim that
Hello and welcome.
The artificial flavor is actually closer to the original variety.
Please dial
the old Michelle.
To join the conversation.
Big Mike bananas.
Yeah.
Which are now virtually vanished from the earth.
Yeah.
Not unlike the original rootstocks of European wine grapes, which were devastated by the phylloxera blight in the middle of the 19th century, with the result that most European wines are grown on Californian rootstocks. There are a few wineries which still have plots of the old European vines. And as you can imagine, wine produced from those old grapes commands a substantial premium. Whether
imagine.
It's actually any better, you know, I don't know. I am not an oenologist. I'm not even an oenophile.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely something you can charge through the nose for.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Rare experience, right? Refined experience,
mm-hmm.
supposedly. So
mm-hmm.
why not charge more for it?
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention if demand is high.
Mm-hmm. Well, Veblen goods are an amazing thing, you know, where the more you charge for it, the higher the demand is, because you're selling to people who want to prove that they're wealthy and able to...
Wealthy and refined and...
special things.
Yes.
So I guess your electric power is finally back.
Yeah, it was up and down for a little bit. I guess... You know, the second round of outages was probably caused by, this is the way I imagine it. Okay, so the first outage, you know, the wind sacked something, you know, pulled the cable down, did some damage, whatever, and the power went out. And, you know, came back on maybe a half hour later for a while, and then went out again. And my guess is the second scenario is like, okay, we're fixing stuff. Oh, my God, there's a tree limb down on the line. Let's de-energize and get it cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably the other day it was, you know, okay, everything's kind of working fixed, but not well fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And either it failed or they came back and fixed it properly, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Although usually, a lot of times they won't totally de-energize stuff if they're, you know, doing minor repairs. You know, mm-hmm. if they're repatching, they'll bypass whatever they're working on, and you won't get an outage, or you might get a momentary interruption, but...
Mm-hmm.
You know, another outage for 15, 20 minutes. They must have found something. Something else must have failed, I suspect. Mm-hmm. But, those high winds were kind of interesting. It's like, I was talking to a colleague on the phone right before they came through, and he's like, oh, yeah, you're due for a bad storm. It's like, oh, really? And then... like 2 seconds, the emergency alert system goes off on my cell phone. It's like, tornado warning, seek shelter in an interior room or basement.
Yeah. We've actually got a little thunderstorm going on outside here right at the moment, although, of course, it doesn't beat the warning that the National Weather Service had to issue the other day near Loyalton, California. The first time in the history of the National Weather Service that they have issued a fire tornado warning.
Okay. That sounds like the stuff of bad Friday night movies.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Publius, you said that Tropical Bananina has yellow number 6.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just been researching yellows. Numbers, and I always thought that one of the yellows was derived from like bug excrement or extracted from bugs.
Yeah, I know what one of the reds is. I don't know about yellows.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like it's really interesting. It looks like yellow number 5 comes, you know, naturally from things like turmeric and beetroot,
mm-hmm.
But it's banned in Austria and Norway,
mm-hmm.
because apparently, in the EU even, the adverse effects is that it might affect the attention of children.
Yeah, there was
increased hyperactivity.
Huh.
Yeah, didn't back in the 70s or 80s, didn't people say the same thing about red dye number 4 or something here in the U.S.?
Probably.
I'm not sure that there was ever any evidence that any of that actually happened, but
right.
But you know,
yeah,
all
it's more like
they have to do is raise the specter of it, and people will campaign for it to get banned.
Yeah.
To ban something than to unban it.
While both yellow number 5 and number 6 are carbon derived, yellow number 5 comes basically from root vegetables, things like that, and of course turmeric, which is, I suppose, is a root. But yellow number 6 is petroleum-derived. It's petroleum byproduct.
Well, in the old days, they used coal tar.
Yeah.
Coal tar.
Coal tar dyes. As a matter of fact, I'm fairly sure that the FD&C registry is still referred to as the coal tar dyes registry. The story behind that, by the way, is kind of curious. That the way we got the Pure Food and Drug Act in the first place owes a great deal to the commissioner of the Department of Agriculture during the Theodore Roosevelt administration, who went to the 1904 St. Louis World's Fair with an enormous display which contained yards and yards and yards of silk fabric, which he had dyed various brilliant colors using chemical dyes that had been found in packaged foods.
Wow.
So in those days, the adulteration of packaged foods to make them seem, you know,
more
wholesome than they were.
Other parties in this conference.
Was a real serious problem. And that was how the, so the outrage of people returning to their home communities from the St. Louis World's Fair and then lobbying their congressmen was finally what got the Pure Food and Drug Act passed, which on the one hand limited what you could add to food that wasn't actually, you know, food, and on the other hand also required the creation for the first time of a registry of chemical synthetic dyes.
Hey, is that Bronzy that just joined?
Yeah, it is. Sorry for the noise.
No, I just guessed it was you. Yeah, yellow ADHD, man.
And it was all yellow.
Yeah.
As you were saying, when I was a kid, it was all about the red.
Okay.
Not that there was any evidence that I was aware of, but anyway.
That the red M&M had to be removed, or...
Yeah, probably one of the red dyes. I forget which one was the one that was the controversial one.
Oh, wait. What's the other one, Publis? You know, this confectioner's glaze. Isn't that...
That's shellac.
Excreted from bugs.
But yeah, there's one, now, like I say, one of the reds is, I guess, carmine dye or cochineal, which is an insect secretion.
Okay. Secretion, I'm sorry, not excretion.
Well, you know, secretion, excretion, you know.
Yeah.
Depends on how you squash them.
Yeah, and who you talk to. Like, I have some friends that anything from a bug or anything bug-related, never.
You know, shellac is, I mean, I don't like to eat chocolate-covered ants, but, you know, a little shellac is just amazingly versatile, isn't it? Because you can use it to finish furniture, you can use it to make records, you can use it to make awful pieces of candy that no one wants to eat.
Oh, even better, I mean, isn't part of the reason why confectioner's glazed or shellac is used is that it becomes a bit immune to temperature differences, especially in hotter climates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little more stable. So that's kind of the idea. And then it also has to do with, you know, just the product not sticking once it's fed.
Moisture absorption, too.
Oh, really? Okay.
But, of course, that only reminds me of my poor grandfather. My grandfather was in the Pacific Theater in the Second World War. He was actually on board a ship headed from Camp Lewis to reinforce the garrison at Corregidor on December 7th, 1941. They diverted to Hawaii, so he didn't wind up in the Bataan Death March, which is good. So he went to Hawaii. He was in the, then they sent him, they were going to send him to Burma, which is also horrible, and then at the last minute he was diverted and sent him to the Solomon Islands instead. I'm not actually sure if that was any better than Burma, one way or the other, but he was in Guadalcanal and New Britain and all these things, and I think it was on Guadalcanal that he was once stuck for 3 days, having been cut off from his encampment by a Japanese patrol. He was stuck for 3 days with nothing to eat but de-rationed chocolate bars, which were these horrible chocolate bars, tropical chocolate, Hershey's tropical chocolate. You can look it up. They replaced the cocoa butter with paraffin wax to raise the melting point.
Nice.
I would not regard it as fit for human consumption. It was basically a cocoa-colored crayon.
Okay.
It's really more of a Crayola product than a Hershey's product.
Sounds like people would prefer to trade it for cigarettes to eat.
Right.
Wait, well, haven't you seen those paraffin candies you could get, like, at Emmy Moses or something like that were filled with syrup, basically syrup?
Yeah.
But it's like a little wax.
You can still chew it, but they don't recommend you eat it.
Well, wax lips are probably the only thing that's still around from that kind of thing. But my mom always called it depression era candy.
Mm-hmm.
Because eating it would make you depressed.
I don't know. I actually like the syrup, and I like to chew on the wax when I was a kid.
The world has gone to shit.
I'm strange.
Slightly better. we have already established that you enjoyed those, you know, banana flavored things. So.
Yeah, I know. Anything is suspect that I say as far as preference for flavors and things that are food like, but not exactly food.
If it's almost food, but not quite, it's squeezy cheese. I don't know if you saw that back in the 90s, the Steven Spielberg produced children's animated television series Animaniacs.
Mm-hmm.
Had all kinds of truly hilarious gags.
I was a fan, even though it was age inappropriate for me.
Mm-hmm.
A little old for that stuff, but
they did a pastiche of
yes.
Apocalypse Now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think there is an age appropriate line for a children's animated show that does a pastiche of Apocalypse Now.
True. A lot of these things are age appropriate for no one.
This is the middle of our story, the middle.
Oh, dear.
But, let's see. Speaking of things that may be slightly unwholesome, let's see. The other day, I've been having a terrible time because back at Christmas, I promised my aunt that I would fix up an old laptop. Well, not old, but it was the laptop that had been my dad's for a while, and then he got a newer one, and he was not going to use this anymore, whereas she had one that was really old and cranky and needed a new Windows laptop because her embroidery software would only work with Windows. So I promised her I'd fix up a thing with Windows 10, and it's taken me months. It's taken me until now to do it because, essentially, it turns out, as a secret of the trade, that you can't really make a usable Windows 10 install USB except on a Windows computer. And so I had to go use a Windows computer to do this, because I tried it from Linux and I could not make a bootable USB. I couldn't make a bootable SD card. I even burned it to a DVD, and that didn't work. But I was able to do it from a Windows computer. Okay, so I took it over to her, and unfortunately, it has this bizarre thing where if there's anything plugged into any of the USB ports, which, of course, as you can imagine, is something you do pretty often, especially with a laptop.
Yeah, there may be things that are already on an internal bus.
It goes black after a while, freezes up and stops working, which is really undesirable as a, you know, as a thing to happen.
General purpose computer.
Yeah, anyway, so I told her to keep it for a few days and see if she could make it work, and if not, then, you know, since I'd put a 480 gigabyte solid state drive in this thing, that basically, okay, go find, you know, look at refurbs and other things, find yourself something that, and, you know, don't bother about the hard drive it has in it. Basically, if it's got a spinning platter drive or it's got a really small SSD, whatever, I will replace it with this SSD that, you know, I've already got in the non-workable, putatively or possibly non-workable laptop. Yeah. Anyway, but on the way to go deliver that to her on the other side of the Metro mess, I stopped and purchased a couple of pieces of uranium glass from somebody because I don't know what's good for me. And one of them is very pretty. I'm going to hold it up so people can see it on the Twitch stream.
Oh, put it back up, Publia. Sorry. I was looking at you.
I'm unfortunately washing dishes at the moment.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even see it.
However, I have a
So this has got a
really contain uranium.
So this has got a gold rim, and also around the foot of the bowl, it's also got gilding. So that, of course, you know, gold, but it's probably not actually gold, but that's another story. But it's gilded, and the gilding is worked into a sort of a floral Greek key pattern, which is quite pretty. Barbaric splendor and all that. I'm all about the barbaric splendor. And then the glass itself is, I think, engraved. I'm not 100% certain. I can tell you, though, that there's a very distinct seam, because this is pressed glass, not blown. But it's a very distinct seam, and the engraving cuts right through that seam. It's also fairly deep, but it's a sort of a leaf band kind of pattern all the way around the bowl. Anyway, it's rather pretty, and I don't mind that it has a distinct seam. I have quite a bit of glass, of uranium glass. Mostly it's the same sort of transparent green color, but not all of it. Now, the easy way to detect this kind of glass, if you're at an estate sale or whatever, is with a little pocket UV lamp, because the hexavalent uranium fluoresces. It converts near ultraviolet light to yellow-green light with a considerable efficiency. And so it fluoresces a kind of brilliant yellow-green. Now the thing is that the uranium glass pieces fluoresce to a greater or less extent. Some are very fluorescent, some are much less so. And the other thing about them is, of course, you could just detect them with a Geiger counter. That would also work. It's just that people tend to regard Geiger counters with a little more suspicion than they do.
Why are you walking around my dead parents' house with a Geiger counter?
You know, carrying around a civil defense survey meter, just pointing at a thing, is people are going to think there's something weird going on.
And the whole reason why those things are so big anyway is for those silly mercury batteries that are stuffed in them.
But,
you don't have to make them that big these days.
I have taken around a discreet little pocket Geiger counter looking for the same sort of thing. However, they don't even like that very much.
Oh. Well, the UV lamp seems like the way to go then.
Yeah. So I'd arranged to pick up this bowl, sort of footed bowl thing, and when I got there, the person says, "I've got a little surprise for you. I'm also going to give you this cruet."
Oh.
And the cruet is a nice cruet. I mean, it's what you expect in a cruet. You know, it's a little bottle with a handle and a spout and a stopper.
Nice.
The stopper, so the end of the stopper that fits into the bottle and the place in the neck where it fits in are both ground. Not to the level of laboratory ground glass stoppers, but still they're ground, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
And my comment was that if I were a rich man... you know, if I were, you know, made of money, I would fill it with heavy water.
Oh.
Now, the reason for not doing this, aside from not having money to waste, is, of course, that by exchanging hydrogen atoms with the moisture in the atmosphere, your heavy water eventually becomes less and less and less deuterated. Now, of course, you wouldn't start off with reactor-grade heavy water anyway. Reactor-grade is like 99.75% deuterium oxide. And for purposes of filling up a cruet with heavy water to put it on display, one would probably just use like 95 or even like 80% deuterium oxide, which of course loses its deuteration much more slowly. But of course, I keep saying I'm going to build a little showcase with built-in ultraviolet lights to show off my uranium glass pieces. And then of course I stop and say, and I call it a Curie cabinet.
Oh, there you go.
Because I cannot resist terrible wordplay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Instead of curio, curie, yeah.
Well, do you know, go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, I am jealous because there is so little uranium glass here in Australia. I have only found one piece.
Wow.
I feel like next time I'm in the States, I need to go thrift store shopping more than I did last time.
There are still uranium mines in New Mexico.
Well, there are uranium mines in Australia.
Well, that's true, too. That's what I thought. Yeah, okay.
No one's really fabricating glass.
Yeah, this uranium
kind of
glass
went out of fashion.
Yeah, uranium glass has not really been... I mean, there are apparently a few artists who will still work in it occasionally. But uranium glass and also uranium-based glazes for ceramics, which are not always fluorescent, is the thing. So those you really do have to have a counter to be sure of detecting them.
Most radioactive ornaments I have are actually orange or uranium-glazed ceramics.
Mm-hmm. Like Fiesta ware, that kind of thing?
Yeah, Fiesta ware that I've imported from the States. Or I've got some German stuff with sort of scenes painted on it in glaze, and that's radioactive.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, you can make really brilliant colors using uranium in the glaze. It's just that most ceramic artists don't work with it anymore.
Drinking the bananina.
Mm-hmm. As long as making faces at it, yeah.
Oh,
I
was watching you on the stream, but when you were holding up the curate, the telephone number came up, and I just had like an instant thought of, you know, Home Shopping Network.
Call 929-299-1269.
How many of these
now
do you have left? Call Publius for the deal.
Call 929-299-1269 now. Operators are standing by. You, too, can own a beautiful uranium glass sherbet dish just like this and eat your ice cream and sherbet out of a dish which is radioactive.
Wow.
In contravention of all advice from national health authorities. The variety of uranium glass items that I have is really quite astonishing. I mean, f- for a while there, the most astonishing I had to say was definitely the lemon juicer. I have three of them, actually. Orange juicers or lemon juicers, whatever you want to call them. Let me go grab one so I can show you what I mean, because this is weird.
1269.
Hey, Bronzy, the other day I was driving and I saw something called the Suzuki Mighty Boy. Little miniature ute. And I was just like, from the 80s. And I just couldn't believe this little tiny ute that somebody had one and they were driving it around.
I've seen one of those on TV and wondered what it was. But yeah, they're tiny,
Yeah, it's basically a ute coupe. You know, with barely any split, anything in the back to put. But I don't know if it's a K car or not. But I posted a picture of one that I found online. Basically the same model, 1987 model year.
I'll have to go look.
Yeah. So I have three quite different. I have three of these orange or lemon juicers, citrus juicers, all quite different. And for a while, that I thought was sort of the weirdest uranium glass item. I've got a couple of florist's frogs, which are the things you'd put in the bottom of a vase. And those made very little sense to me, because ordinarily in the bottom of a vase, you wouldn't really have much, you know, ultraviolet light that would cause things to illuminate. You know, it'd be really hard to see if you had the things in the bottom of a vase. Of course, I use them as pen stands, so it doesn't matter to me. And then I've got what's probably really the weirdest. So there's a variety... There's a kind of glass which is referred to as jadeite, which is confusing because jadeite and nephrite are the two minerals that make up jade. So having a variety of glass known as jadeite, where there's already a mineral called jadeite, is kind of weird. Anyway, but there is jadeite glass, and some of that is just white and non-fluorescent, and some of it is a pale, creamy green color, and is fluorescent because it contains uranium. And I have this enormous hunk. It must be, I don't know, at least a kilogram of uranium glass jadeite, which is a bowl for a stand mixer, like you'd use in your kitchen.
Interesting.
Apparently this was real popular for a while, and I can't imagine why.
Did Fire King...
They wanted a splash of color, I guess.
Did Fire King make jadeite stuff, or is jadeite kind of used as a brand name?
I've seen it capitalized. I don't know if it was a brand name, but I guess it was like a trade name.
You know,
is it
Fire King
a milky
is, right?
Green white, or is it darker green?
Hmm?
Is it a milky green white or a sort of darker green?
I would say milky greenish white. Yeah.
I think I've got one of those somewhere because I used to collect Mixmasters. I got rid of a lot of them, but I've still got a whole collection.
Yeah, well, put your UV light on it, and if it's the stuff I'm thinking of, it'll light up very bright. It'll be like, boing. You will be in no doubt whatsoever as to what you are dealing with.
Okay. Oh, I'll have to check.
So, yes, you may already have collected more uranium glass than you knew you had.
Indeed. I think it's in a box somewhere, but I will go look at some point. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so your uranium glass mixing bowls, uranium glass. I've got a set of ice cream soda dishes, ice cream soda glasses, as well as the sherbet dishes, which are ubiquitous from what I can tell. Plates and platters and bowls. Oh, I've got these really awful looking. In fact, they're here on the top. There's one on the top of the laser disc player here. Let me get it down. These really awful looking dinner plates. They're just horrible. there's nothing special about them at all. They're very plain, very, very plain in design, and they're a hideous yellow-green color. I mean, I don't know why anyone would want this in their home. From a decor standpoint, it's atrocious. Except, of course, for me, because, you know, again, I'm not interested in it under visible light. But here, let me hold this up. But, you know, I mean, obviously color references are distorted through the video, but
sure.
You can see, I mean, it's in person, the color is, it looks like almost olive green made pale. It's very yellowish. And, you know, if it were, if these plates were not absolutely plain, I mean, they're frosted glass, and they're absolutely plain, geometrical forms look like something out of the, you know, Bauhaus movement or something like that, except they're round, not square. I think the Bauhaus people probably all ate off of square dinner plates.
Now, isn't it true that you only have 37 of those left right now? Is that right, Publius? They got all Publius for the deal.
Dial 929-299-1269. Operator, hey, standing by.
There's Tobe.
Mm.
Hey, Tobe. Yeah, hold up. I guess Tobe is watching the stream, though. But, yeah, the Tobster. Would you recommend using tropical bananina with ice cream?
If you could stand the flavor, you know, if you're not, it might make a decent float for people who like artificial banana flavor. You know, like I say, if Jazzmaz wants to try, wants to find some, because, you know, presumably there's a market somewhere in Chicago that carries it, wants to try it with ice cream, it has sort of a, in addition to the cloying banana flavor, like I say, it's got a little bit of a tutti frutti to it. So
I
it might
if
actually
the,
be okay.
If the Korean market down in the neighborhood it will have that.
Mm. Anything is possible. Like I say, it's apparently Honduran, so
right.
There's probably some Latin market or something that carries it. You just have to find out who.
There are four other parties in this conference.
Hello.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Just me swapping phones.
I see. Tobe can't see the image. Oh, well.
Well, dang.
It's
Honduran. What browser is Tobe using?
Oh, I don't know, but he's just being Tobe.
I find Safari doesn't work that well, but I use Chrome or something else to make that work.
Tobe is claiming that he wants to run something called a Jamulus server. I think he just made that up.
Yeah.
I have never heard of Jamulus. It sounds like, you know, what, Romulan jam?
I don't know. My parents are trying to use it and failing miserably. They need a server. Oh, wow.
So is this? I'm guessing from his description of his parents that this is presumably some way to do like live music concerts when you're on different continents or something,
or different star systems. Jamulus.
Yeah, the Jamulan invasion force is on its way.
The Jamulan Star Empire will.
Multiversal jamming. Okay. Oh, software enables musicians to perform real-time jam sessions over the internet. What the frick?
Yeah,
okay.
That's what I was figuring it might be. Sounds like it wouldn't actually work very well in most cases.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Is like, if you tried to do that, just the delay and everything.
Right, that's the thing. I'm thinking that synchronization would be a really difficult problem.
Unless you synchronize with MIDI.
that's
right, Stuart. The MIDI standard is going to be something that all computers will have in the future. Thanks, Gary.
Let's see. If I have a USB to PS2 adapter and a PS2 to mini DIN adapter, can I use my can I use a MIDI keyboard with my standard computer?
I don't know. What happens when you plug your keyboard into the power outlet?
I keep thinking, people talk about corded typing, right? I want to get in on the next wave, right? You know, forget this Dvorak stuff, you know.
Right. And if we're all stenographers, yeah, we can be damn good cyber chatters.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Bronzy says, what is this MIDI thing of which you speak? To which, of course, you know, the answer is, this is short for midshipman. It's a cadet for officers' ranks in the Navy. For some reason, they're very fond of music.
T- Yeah, it seems like Tobe is really desperate to get this thing running right now. Okay, that's fine. But we can help him. No.
We can help him by shipping him an entire case of Tropical Banana.
I don't know if he could drink that. I mean, he's got some pretty strict dietary requirements, and I would worry that something.
Well, proper tradition that Publius is setting, he can have one glass and then flush the rest of it down the toilet.
The rest of it in the toilet. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably the most environmentally safe way to dispose of it.
It's the approved method. I wouldn't want to pour it on the shrubbery. I wouldn't know how the shrubbery would react.
You could try, like, a patch of grass and just, like, splash it on there and see what it looks like in a few days.
Man, there's already a patch of dead grass on the front lawn, the shape of the contiguous United States. And I don't know why, because it's brown and dead right in the middle of a flourishing green lawn of the kind that you'd expect when we've had such a rainy spring and summer.
Rowdy teens, of course.
Ah, right, rowdy teens in their spaceships.
Oh.
Hmm.
Do you have an ATV gang that comes and rips up your lawn at night?
You know? That would be much more interesting than most of the things that normally happen in this neighborhood. Although there was that time a couple of years back when the police major crime squad was at the house across the street, and I still don't know why. So that was kind of concerning. People keep moving in and out of that house, and, you know, it sounded, you know, from what I could tell, you know, from the labels on the cars parked in all along the street on that side, it looked like they were looking for, like, dead bodies buried in the backyard or something. But I never read anything about it in the newspaper, so it could have been one of those nuisance calls.
From east of the Rockies, dial 929-299-1269. From west of the Rockies, dial 206-299-2120. Access code 1088. Now, here's Publius in the what county are you in?
Technically speaking, I'm in Tarrant County.
Oh, okay. The Kingdom of Tarrant. That didn't sound so good. Yes, I was trying to do the Ross Mitchell Art Bell introduction.
Yeah. Well, you can do the Anon Radio Shopping Club.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, yeah, specializing in uranium glass.
Uranium glass and exotic beverages.
And cobalt 60.
Cobalt 60 sources imported fresh from Canada, bottled in bond. No kidding. A friend of mine bought me a Fisher Space Pen at the Little Alien in Rochelle, Nevada.
Oh, wow.
So, of course, I normally use a fountain pen, but
coming up at 0300 hours UTC is a pen mic with open mic.
Okay.
Anyone can stream.
Because, bizarrely enough, there are still things on this Earth that require carbons.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And you can't make a very good carbon with fountain pen.
No.
You got to really bear down.
You got to have a nice ballpoint. And the thing with the space pen that's so funny, it's like, well, how did the Russians solve the problem? They just used a freaking pencil.
Well, they did the same thing that the U.S. did initially, which is use a grease pencil.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem, the reason why the U.S. went to using these pens was the discovery that the grease pencil would shed little particles, and the fear was they would get into the electrical switches and short them out. And it is said, although I have no confirmation for this story, it is said that the month after the Fisher Space Pen went on the market, somebody from the Soviet embassy in Washington bought an entire case of them.
Oh, really?
So,
You
never know. Let's see. There was something trenchant and clever that I was going to say, but it's gone out of my mind now. Maybe I'll recapture it before the end of the open VoIP period, and maybe I won't.
Oh. Well, there's 4 minutes left.
Yep.
And then we got open mic.
But, oh, gosh, Bronzy talking about importing things. Reminds me of this terrible story that happened to someone I almost know. I'm a member of the German pro-nuclear group Nuclearia because I spend a significant amount of time, or have been spending a significant amount of time the last few years, in Germany. And so I joined the pro-nuclear energy group there. And so I heard from somebody on their mailing list. So there was this article that showed up in one of the major newspapers about how the postal sorting center in a major city had been completely shut down because of radioactive materials in a parcel from the United States. Well, oh. the guy whose parcel it was on the mailing list, and he said, yeah, so I ordered some stuff from Fisher Scientific in the United States, as long as I was ordering the stuff, I ordered a little sample of uranium ore, which they included in the package. And when that was opened by the customs authorities, they freaked out and shut down the entire sorting center because it's radioactive. And, of course, his remark was, I could have taken a train to Thuringia and gone out in the Thuringerwald, in the forest there, with a Geiger counter and picked up rocks that are more radioactive than that. I just didn't want to take the time to do that. Because, of course, they used to mine uranium in Germany. Mm-hmm. There aren't any active uranium mines anymore, but, of course, the minerals are still there. And so you can go out in the Thuringian forest and pick up lumps of uranium-bearing rock off the ground.
Hey, do you know that the company...
Coming up at 0300 hours UTC is a Penmic with open mic. Anyone can stream.
Various elements.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a license or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What happens with those when they get shipped? I mean, they're just tiny little plastic discs.
Again, you know? The German authorities freak out.
Okay.
Because in Germany, they have had like 25 years now of being told, you know, that this is the absolute worst possible thing. Ronzi said that his step-grandfather used to do that. You used to go out in the Thuringian forest and pick up lumps of uranium ore, prospecting, hey. But yeah, the authorities absolutely freak out. And yeah, it's bizarre. Because, yeah, these are things which are legal to possess in the country. They're legal to import. You don't have to have a license for them. Under international regulations, they're legal to send through the mails domestically and internationally. But they, you know, it's radioactive.
They set off a sensor and they have a radioactive mark on the packaging. They freak out.
They
don't
know that uranium occurs naturally.
Yeah. people don't have any idea, I guess. You know, that's one of those things I really want to get across to people, that, hey, this stuff has been here all the time. I really want to talk to people about the Oklo phenomenon the way that Jehovah's Witnesses want to talk to people about whatever the hell it is they do. the fact that nuclear reactors have actually occurred naturally in the Earth, this is amazing, and we need to talk about it. The fact that we can detect ancient supernovae by the plutonium left behind in seafloor sediments, this is amazing, and we need to talk about it. You know, so this is sort of my one of those things that I tend to rag chew on for a while.
Sure.
But before we cut off, off, I'm going to mention that I recently joined the Steamship Historical Society of America. I have a terrible habit of...